Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3. The game, we're live at the Murphy Center. MTSU taking on Chattanooga tonight. The 50th anniversary celebration of this building, the Glass House. I've seen basketball games. I've seen concerts. Mm-hmm. I've been part of state finals here. I've called some games here. So a lot of history in this building. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Willie Donick going to join us here in a few minutes, or a few hours, I should say. He's in Winnipeg getting ready for the Predators to take on the Jets. I'll have pregame for you tonight at 6. But how do you stay positive if you're the Tennessee Titans when you're going through such a hard spell that they've been going through right now? And Mike Vrabel, to me, is the type of coach that you would want in a situation like this. He talked yesterday about teaching lessons and being positive with the team when they're not playing well.
Like you hear coaches say, that you know, it's easier to teach lessons when you're winning. When you're losing, do you find yourself being more positive, I guess, to try to get it turned around?
Well, I mean, I think that we all understand. You know, I mean, it's professional football, and I think you have to be consistent. You know, I try to coach the action and not the result. I really do. Whether we win or we lose, I try to coach things that come up in the game that have to be improved, things that I recognize that we did well. You know, and I think by what I mean is, you know, if you give up contain or something and you make a play, you still have to recognize, say, hey, you know, the next time that's going to be a huge, huge gain. That quarterback that can scramble is going to be out of there. There's an element to, yeah, making a play, but you know, sometimes just because the play was favorable, you may have not necessarily done your job. And so I try to use those examples to them and saying, you know, whether we win or lose, there's going to be things that we're going to have to improve. And then the things that we have to eliminate, such as the turnovers or the poor situational football at the end of the half, you know, not affecting the quarterback, things that we know will get us beat.
That's Mike Vrabel yesterday talking to the media. So, you know, when you think about, we were just talking about high school and collegiate sports, okay, you're coaching kids then. You know, you have to know as a coach when to pick your battles, when to, you know, be tough on a kid, when to be positive, have the positive reinforcements. It's different in the NFL because we always hear these are grown men. They're making millions of dollars. Yeah. But it's still, at the end of the day, coaching is coaching. And you have to know the balance. I think Mike Vrabel knows the balance. How did you look at it, you know, when you played, of if you were in a rough patch, whether individually or as a team, how did you deal with it to stay positive and know that eventually it can turn itself around?
I think again, and I've said this for the longest, in regards when it comes to me, I can't look to the coach to motivate me. I can't look to the coach to get me out of a slump. I have to figure out a way. Now, the coach can, you know, give me some tools, some things that may help me. But then I have to take what he or she has given me and put it into practice along with the things I have been doing. So eventually, because I've taken what the coach has said and my ability to play the game on a physical and mental level, I got to take all of that and then, but I got to go out and do what's necessary to get myself out of that funk. And that's how our team is. Yes, the coach can give you the tools. The coordinator can give you a game plan. We can practice that game plan and we can, you know, get that game plan to a T, which gives us confidence going into the game. But ultimately, during the game, the coaches ain't playing. It's the players. So we got to figure out a way to get ourselves out of that slump. The coach can't do it. He on the sideline.
Yeah.
You know? Now, he has to know the temperature of this team. He has to know when to make a substitution or make a change in the lineup. He has to know that. But as far as, like, motivating and getting guys to go or getting their team go, there's only so much a coach can do. You know, the rest falls on the team and the players.
Right.
The coach can motivate, and he can walk in that building and say all the right things, and I've seen it. But if the guys don't go out and take it upon themselves to do the things that is going to cause change, then I don't care what that coach says, he or she, it's not going to happen. So in the Titans situation, yes, Vrabel's going to say all the right things. Vrabel understands sometimes the way other coaches don't because he's played and he's been in the trenches. Some coaches haven't, not to that degree anyway. But he understands the balance that you have to have with your ball club. Like, listen, I could come in here and I got to give you a message every day, and I hope that that message resonates. You know, it may not resonate on everybody, but if it resonates on the leaders, then the leaders are going to filter it down. And the team only goes so far as their leader takes them, meaning the guys on the field. Because, again, the coach isn't playing. In no sport do I know where the coach actually plays, you know. So with that being said, it's up to the guys to go out there and the girls to go out there and make a change. Again, he can say, he or she can say all the great words, and you can videotape it, and years later you can replay it, and it'll motivate kids. It'll motivate high school kids and possibly even college kids. But when it comes to pro guys, it's different.
Sure.
A lot of that stuff comes from within.
Well, okay, so you bring up the leaders. Coming up next, who are the true leaders on this team, and how much do you trust them to do what needs to be done, knowing the situation that they're in? We'll discuss that coming up next. You can weigh in as well at 615-737-1025. It's Chase Willie and D-Mace. We're presented by Hair Club. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. More coming here on 1025, 1063, The Game.
Well, it first starts with my mindset and my positivity and my energy that I bring every single day into this building. I think it's a quote that's going around the building right now. It says, like, you know, a rising tide, you know, kind of raises all the boats around you. So you have to be that tide of that energy, great mentality, every single day to try to raise the energy level and raise the positive vibes around here with everybody. So that's what I try to do every single day as a leader, just try to bring great energy, try to bring a positive mindset, and hope that I rub off on somebody else.
That's Kevin Byard, the mayor of Murfreesboro, where we are today. Titans safety and Blue Raider as well. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you at the Murphy Center. Keeping a positive vibe in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Now, I asked you the leaders, the Tennessee Titans. I would put Kevin Byard up at the top of that.
I think, you know, to me, I think Kevin is the unquestioned leader in that locker room, I think across the board. I know you have Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, but I think because of his play, because of his consistency, you know, and his availability, he is the unquestioned leader in that locker room. He's most definitely the leader on that defensive side of the ball. But I think when he talks, you know, the team listens in regards to Kevin Byard. Now, we can throw out other leaders. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Jeffrey Simmons, guys like that that have been there. Ben Jones, guys that have been there, that have been through the so-so seasons and also been through the really good seasons. So this team has enough leaders in the Tennessee Titans. They have enough leaders, but they don't have enough talent. They don't have enough depth. Having a leader is great, and every team or organization needs it, business need it. But if you don't have the depth, the workers, the talent, to win ball games consistently or to elevate your company consistently, then you're just going to have a leader at the top. You're not going to have a successful, whether it be organization or business, because even with a great leader, you need some great workers as well.
We're going to talk to Herm Edwards at 12:30, and I'm really looking forward to that conversation, the coach from ESPN. And get his thoughts on this. I mean, I agree with you. Because the leadership group, I don't question that at all with the Titans. Whether it's Kevin Byard, Jeffrey Simmons, Derrick Henry, Ben Jones, as you mentioned, Ryan Tannehill. I put him up there. I mean.
Even Robert Woods to an extent.
Yeah, he's a veteran.
He understands the league. He understands winning culture. So
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and look, I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody that's up there. Nate Davis has,
yes,
you know, become one of those guys. I'm not worried about that, but you're right. It's the talent. It's the depth.
Uh-huh.
It's the fact that the injuries have caught up to him. You know, I mean, Ola Adeniyi, they released this week. He was, yeah, a guy that I thought they loved.
Obviously, they didn't love him that,
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I mean, they decided.
Maybe John loved him.
Yeah, they moved on. And he was trying to sign with Pittsburgh, where, uh-huh, he was before.
I think he still will, but they had
– He failed his
made
physical.
It, oh, he failed the physical?
He failed the physical.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so he's a free agent right now. And, that, I mean, ultimately, if he's failing the physical there, that's probably why they moved on here. That's,
exactly.
You know, something with the medicals there. But, it's – can they have the horses – do they have the horses,
uh-huh,
to finish out strong? I mean, this is going to be a tough test because I think the Chargers are playing much better than they did earlier in the year.
They're healthier.
They're coming off a big win on Sunday night. They're healthier. Herbert looks the part. He's healthy. So that one's going to be tough. You can say what you want about Houston. Houston's not a very good team, but the Titans aren't a very good,
yeah,
team right now. I mean, that's kind of the
thing. Houston gave Dallas last week a run for their money. And, you know, to be honest, they should have won that
probably
game.
Probably should have won,
yeah,
the game.
They,
yeah,
should have won, right, that game. But they didn't because, you know, obviously, hey, listen, the Dallas, the Cowboys were just more talented than,
yeah,
the Houston Texans. And they held on for as long as possible. But, you know, you look at the Titans and you just look at who they have remaining on their schedule. And it starts this week with the L.A. Chargers. This is a – 6 weeks ago, we didn't think that this – the last five games would be this critical. We didn't. We thought, if anything, hey, listen, they may have one loss in there, and that's to the Cowboys possibly, because at the time the Chargers were not playing well. They didn't look good. They were not healthy. Fast forward it, 6 weeks later, now we're looking at this schedule like, man, you know, we're getting – we haven't gotten guys back. We're injured. The Chargers are getting healthier. They're getting their key guys back. They got their two stud wide receivers back. They're getting guys back on defense. Jaguars look good.
Yeah.
You know, they're a young team, but they look good. Houston is one of those teams that, listen, they're a bad team, but if you don't walk into that game prepared and ready to go, they can beat you. They have enough to beat you on any day. They're a bad team, but they got just enough to beat you on any day. And then Indianapolis, they're just a dumpster fire. But even being a dumpster fire, if you don't walk into the building with a game plan on how to beat this Indianapolis coach, they too can make you pay. Luckily, the Titans don't play them anymore.
So how do you feel for the last four games? How do you feel this is going to go? They're at – at the Chargers, Houston here, then the short week Dallas here,
yeah,
and then they're at Jacksonville to close out the season. I think they're going to go 2-2 down the stretch.
I see 2-2, but they can't have any more injuries. They can't. They got to start getting guys healthy, mainly that front seven. I don't know if Jeffrey Simmons is ever going to be healthy this season. He says he's still playing at a high level. But if you watch the film, he has dipped, and he's dipped not because, you know, he can't play. It's because of the injury. But he's not going to make an excuse for that, and I understand it. So if Jeffrey can't get healthier moving forward, if they don't eventually get DeNico Autry back, which I think they will, you know, if Bud Dupree continues to play the way he's been playing in and out of the lineup, and if they don't get their corners back, I can't see 2-2 is being generous.
Yeah.
You know? 2-2 is being generous, saying, okay, the last four games, they're going to go 2-2. Well, if these guys, if they don't start getting these guys back, or if they start having more injuries, 2-2 may be generous. It may be more like 1-3. And that only win being at Houston.
Yeah. You might be right. I mean, because look, I don't think they're going to win this weekend, and I don't think they're going to beat Dallas.
Uh-huh.
And then the other two are toss-ups.
Exactly.
I mean, really, Houston, I think they should win, but it's a toss-up at this point. 615-737-1025. Let's go to JP. He wants to weigh in. and has a question for D-Mace. JP, welcome in.
Hey, guys. Hey, I was wondering, D-Mace, what is, you guys talk all the time about male physicals and you got to take the physical. What is NFL physical like versus us normal folk who, you know, they listen to our heart, turn our head and cough, touch our toes, you know, oh, for the ladies, it's put your feet up and spread them.
Oh, boy.
I'll let you guys go. Let me know.
Thank you, JP. What's the difference between just a normal routine physical that, you know, we all get compared to a physical that an athlete gets at the professional level? I think it's more in depth. I think it's, you know, they are looking for things, like truly looking for things, you know, within your body. I think if you just go for a regular checkup, you know, they're making sure you're okay, but they're not really going in depth and your history and all this other stuff, which they should, and you can press for them to do that, and they would have to. But I think when you get to this professional level, because there's so much money involved, that physical becomes more in depth. They take their time more with it, you know, and because they want to make sure they cross every T and dot every I, because they don't want to miss something. And then once they sign a girl or a guy, you know, 2 months later, something shows up.
Right.
You know, that's the last thing you want. So it's a little bit more invasive and in depth than I think just a regular physical that we go out and get. You know, guys, hey, listen, they feeling around your abdominal area, you know, making you cough, you know, checking certain areas. But then that's really the extent of it, unless you've had previous problems. The NFL, they're looking for everything. NBA, MLB, you know, hockey, they're looking for everything because there is a lot of money that is going to be invested in that particular player. So they want to make sure you're all right.
Yeah. No, and I mean, you have to. You have to make it as thorough as possible. And I think it was a good question. I kind of thought about, too, what's the difference? Randy on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, do you think it would be beneficial for Amy Adams Strunk to address the team, make it private, let her explain her decision, maybe apologize and answer questions? Thoughts? Number one, if she hasn't done that by now, then yes, I do think she should address the team, and I would hope she probably has already. That should have been done right then and there.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, you know, for me being here, we didn't have to go through any of that because we didn't fire a GM or fire a head coach. Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese were here.
Yeah.
For all of my eight years.
You didn't
years.
Want to hear from Bud anyway.
Yeah, it was like, hey, listen. <you know? laughs> If Bud's coming, something's wrong. but no, he didn't address the team in regards to that. But he did come out every once in a while and did address the team. You know, whenever we played Houston, he would fly in, obviously, and would have something to say to the team. But no.
Do you think Bud knew your name?
No. Nope. No, I remember he called me they were doing this, you know, at the end of the year, the sort of like the award thing, I don't know. And he called me a scat back. I'm like, what in the hell? I'm not no damn scat back. What are you talking about, man? Like, what are you talking about, dude? I mean, I'm not a scat back. I'm like, he went back in the day with that one. I said, no, I'm a receiver and a return man. That's who I am.
You walk up there and go, Steve, it's good. Just thanks so much for everything you do for our club.
But I'll tell you about that off air. but, I mean, I do. And I'm sure Amy, as she has in previous years, she's addressed the team for whatever particular reason. And I'm sure that she's addressed the team in some way. Now, if she hasn't, you know, you hope she will.
Yeah.
But again, if she doesn't, I guess she leaves Mike to address the team.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it would be the right thing to do.
I think the guys would appreciate that if she did that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think it would be. But good question from Randy on our text line. Coming up next, we'll get into the Predators. They play Winnipeg tonight, and it's been a four-game losing streak for them. John Hines was on with Robbie and Rexrode this morning. Here's some of him. We'll do that coming up next. 1025-106-3 The Game.
When our power play is at its best, it's got motion and skating. I'm going to go back to that word again. It's got to be. It has to play faster. It has to be more attacking. It can't be as static. You know, we get in trouble when it goes when Yossi's the only guy moving. When Yossi runs the blue line and nobody else moves, that's why we split it up. When it becomes static in today's game with the pressure, you can't play standing still on the flanks. So you know we need to get more movement there. The other thing is you have to have a shot mentality. We have to drive more plays into the slot, whether it's a shot tip, whether it's a shot for the rebound, whether it's a seam pass. You have to get more plays in that area of the ice. And then if they connect, a lot of times it's a real quality scoring chance. But if they don't connect, now you're in a puck recovery situation, and then you have to be able to attack right out of that and not go back to resetting it. Once there's a shot or there's a slot-driving play, scoring chance, if there's no scoring chance, there's a retrieval. Right out of that retrieval, you got to make the next play right away. And right now, sometimes our guys want to go back and reset and get in their positions and do it again. And that's been last year it was automatic. This year it's been, it's been good at times, but it hasn't been good enough.
That's John Hines, Predators head coach, on with Robbie and Rexrode earlier this morning. Welcome back in, Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063. The Game, you can weigh in, 615-737-1025. That's our phone line. Driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com. The power play is a major concern for this team right now because they're getting the chances. The penalty kills look pretty good. They're getting the chances, but they're not burying them on the power play, and that's something that has to improve with this team if they're going to do anything moving forward. I, you know, looked the other night as they played the Edmonton Oilers, and, you know, I get it. The Edmonton Oilers have two of the best players in the National Hockey League, but they had a ton of power play opportunities and did nothing. You know, I mean, they had, let's see, none. And they had two. Edmonton had two.
Uh-huh. And they scored.
Yeah, with McDavid and Draisaitl. So, I mean, it continues to add up, and that was John Hines' explanation on getting those chances. But I even think they're not burying chances 5-on-5. Scoring in general, even though they put three goals up the other night against Edmonton, is not where it needs to be. And that's something that they got to figure out soon.
Yeah, they do. In discussing this with, you know, and Willie, you know, he brought up the fact, listen, you in this league right now – in order to, you know, be one of those upper echelon teams, you have to be averaging more than two goals a game. You have to. Now, if you're holding opponents to a goal a game or two goals a game and you're averaging 2.5 or three goals a game, then, yeah, you could possibly get away with it. But this league has seen their goal output go up. It's sort of like, you know, sort of like the NFL. We've seen, you know, teams become more sort of a pass happy because that's the way the league is going. And if you're not capable of doing that, then you're going to struggle, i.e. Tennessee Titans. Well, the Nashville Predators are the same. If scoring is up a tick, but you're below or right at the average, then you're going to have problem winning games consistently, you know. And the other night showed it. But, Frank, I mean, listen, that team, you know, Edmonton had – they just got two flat-out studs.
Yeah.
And McDavid and Draisaitl.
It's Jordan and Pippen.
Exactly. It's just like, man, what do you do? Kobe and Shaq. It's like, what do you do? We got to just try to minimize everybody else and take advantage of the opportunities that we have. Well, they didn't do that because Hines – is it Hines? How do you pronounce his last
name?
Hines, yeah. He had three goals. He had a hat trick.
Oh,
no,
you're talking about the coach.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I'm talking about the player for Edmonton.
Hyman. Yeah.
He had three goals.
Yeah.
You know, so you're talking about not only having to contain Shaq and Kobe, but you can't allow, you know, I don't know, who would the third person be?
Well, it's a different team, but
yeah.
It's kind of like the big three.
Exactly.
It's like you got like Duncan and Parker and Manu.
Yeah. But you can't let this other guy beat you. You sort of contain the other two. It's like, okay, you can't let Duncan and Parker beat you. And you sort of contain those two guys, but you don't do nothing about Ginobili, who's a hell of a player.
Yeah, Hyman,
you know?
Hyman's their man.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a guy that if you don't pay attention to him, he can go off.
Yep.
End up winning a game for your opponent.
I love Ginobili, by the way.
And that's what it was the other night. Even though McDavid and Draisaitl played great, you knew they were going to do what they do, but you allowed this other guy to have three goals. And you're not scoring when you have the opportunity to score. That's where the Predators are. When you are on the advantage and you don't take it, you don't take and do something with that. When you're on a power play and you don't take advantage of that, playing against a team like Edmonton, you're not going to win. You're not.
Nope.
And that's what happened.
And, you know, look, I kind of worry about that, you know, tonight because, you know, we talked about this, Derek, mm-hmm. that the schedule is not going to get any easier moving forward.
No.
And Winnipeg's 18-9-1. They're not bad. They are having a pretty good season. Rick Bonus taking over as the head coach. But, I mean, this is the stretch they got. At Winnipeg, at Colorado, Edmonton back here again.
Uh-huh.
At Chicago, and then Colorado here. That's the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy. And if they don't get things turned around soon, I mean, they're on a four-game losing streak. Things are going to get away from them pretty fast. And they were playing well. You know, we saw that overtime win against a team, a really good New Jersey team, a team they probably shouldn't have beaten.
Uh-huh.
And then they beat the Islanders, and then things have kind of fallen off for them. I know that the defense is beat up. They're battling injury. That's well documented. But the problems of you know, being able to generate scoring chances have been around for a while. And John Hines also talked about this morning when he was on with Robbie and Rexroad, getting more chances from the top players.
You know, if you look at even a guy like Jordan Gross, like he had three or four scoring chances. You know, some of it was offensive blue line. Some of it was off the rush. And that's what we need from more guys. The other thing that I think in the offensive zone, you know, being a little bit more mobile, you know, skating at the offensive blue line when the puck comes low to high, you know, sometimes you gotta move your feet two or three steps one way or the other to be able to find a shot lane to get it through. And you know, those are some things we're continuing to work with the guys on too. But that production and productivity from the back end certainly has more potential.
And they got to bury these chances.
Yeah.
You know, the chances that they get, they got to finish them. That's the thing. And they're not doing that. And Forsberg has been a disappointment right now. You know, I really wish that he could get it going, because if he were able to get some things going, mm-hmm. that sparks something. You know, when your best player is playing like your best player, mm-hmm. there's a trickle-down effect, and that hasn't happened.
Well, it seemed like the only guy, and correct me if I'm wrong with this, Chase, it seems like the only guy when you talk about the big four or three or whatever, the only guy that has been consistent is Josi.
Yeah.
Any other guys have been Duchesne, Johansson, Forsberg. Those guys have been so up and down, whereas last year they were on point. All of them were on point. And you just are not seeing that on a consistent basis. And this is something that has been said. It's not like we are making these things up. Poile came on here and said, listen, our top guys have to play like the top guys, you know, just about every night in order to give us an opportunity to win. But then those other guys, those secondary guys, they need to up their game as well. Well, we're not getting that. No way, no how on a consistent basis.
Mike on our text line, Drew Miller, WilsonCountyHoney.com, you said Shaq and Kobe being Draisaitl and McDavid. Hyman's Derek Fisher. That's a good one.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
Derek Fisher was a very underrated point
guard. But if you left him out there to shoot that three-pointer, he was going to nail it.
Yeah.
And he could nail three or four in a row. And you end up looking, and he ends the game with 22 points.
Yeah.
But Shaq and Kobe, they had maybe 20, 25, but then you let this guy get 22 points and kill you.
Jordan, Pippen, and Kukoc.
Same way. Same thing.
I love Tony Kukoc, too. 615-737-1025. How can the Predators fix their scoring woes? We'll discuss more of that coming up next. But I've been telling you about a cool spot that you can go into before Predators game. It's called Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. It's blocks away from Bridgestone Arena, the Ryman, and also Nissan Stadium. Just an easy walk. They have the best old-fashioned in Nashville, and I love a good old-fashioned. I've had it. It is fantastic. Go see Jeremy and his crew. They have a tremendous staff there to help you, whether you're in there to sample a cocktail or bourbon or have a fine cigar, because they have a partnership, an exclusive partnership with Davidoff Cigars, the best cigars in the world, and that allows access to rare cigars that only Blend can carry. And here's the cool thing, too. If you go in there and you're with a non-smoker, they have a ventilation system that will help keep the air clean, that, you know, will make it easier for you as someone that, you know, if you're with someone that is a non-smoker. It replaces the air in the lounge every 7 minutes through extensive carbon filtration. The upstairs VIP room is available, has that same ventilation system. It's your own private elevator, private updated bathroom, marble countertops, a 70-inch TV, and custom imported leather furniture. You can also get that catered as well. So go see my friends at Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, 508 Church Street in downtown Nashville. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is luxury redefined. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. I do have to tip my cap to Rick because he sent this to me. 30 years ago today, Dr. Dre released The Chronic.
Man, when that album dropped.
Oh, such a good album.
Man. Gosh.
So I had to play some Dre.
I swear that album, what was that? 2000 no that was yeah it was 2012 was it 12? No that was
what else this out the chronic
yeah it was
no this was like 92
yeah, 92 that was I said 2012 but then I had to go back 10 more years
yeah
92 I was a junior in high school, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't bump this in the house, of course.
No, probably not. But I mean, it introduced you to Snoop Dogg. Our Snoop Doggy Dog.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was on it. The DOC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, it's a great one. And then 2001 was good, too. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But The Chronic is one of those, like, if
it's an iconic
if I
album.
Were to teach a class on music,
mm-hmm.
it would be one of the albums that I would make the class listen to. You would have to go listen to that album.
Mm.
If you're learning about the history of music.
I mean, that album was fire.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Still is.
It still is. I mean, you could play that album from the first song to the last
song. You know, I'm going
to
listen to it on the way home instead of Stillman. Sorry, Caroline.
Sorry, Caroline.
Sorry, Jared. It's Dre Day.
I know little baby Jared wasn't listening to that back in the day.
Dr. Dre. What's Dr. Dre? Neil on our text line, talking about the Preds. Neil on our text line says, Preds need to change their system. Quit being hard to play against and bring in more offensive-minded players. Okay, I get where you're coming from. Because I agree. I mean, I think the hard-to-play-against philosophy, for whatever reason, isn't working right now. But they have offensive-minded players. I mean, they have Forsberg. They have Duchesne. They have Johansson. You know, I do wonder if sometimes you're taking these guys and you know, look, a prime example was Elli Tolvanen. Uh-huh. Elli Tolvanen was an offensive-minded player, and they needed him to play more of a tougher game, which mm-hmm. he did a really good job at. But I also wonder at the same time, did he kind of forget how to score?
Yeah.
Or was he just never that good to begin with? I don't know. But I get what Neil's saying. And I know where everybody wants to go. I know there's a really large portion of the fan base that's ready for a coaching change.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it may come to that at some point.
They're ready for change, period.
Yeah, they're ready to see success.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this city tasted success. It's just like the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
99, Titans come on the scene and go to the Super Bowl. Everybody loves it. Well, then, you know, you have a roster shuffle and, you know, you go to Baltimore. We all know what happens. And then you go in the doldrums and you don't see success for a while. And people uh-huh. get tired of that. People get tired of either lack of success or mediocrity. Well, the Predators are a playoff team. They've made the playoffs every year, but then they're not doing anything with it. And that's where the frustration is set in, is that they love the fact, yeah, you're making it, but win in the playoffs. It's been a while. And so all that frustration is starting to boil over.
Yeah, I think people get – some people, not all people, they get satisfied and comfortable with, hey, listen, I know where we used to be. I know where we're at now, and I don't want to go back to where we used to be. So let's just keep everything status quo and maybe add some new players, and hopefully we can get better based upon that. And then some people are on the other end of the spectrum, like, listen, what we're doing now is good. It's not good enough. I know we've experienced some success. I get that. But we want to win championships. We want to win Stanley Cups. And so let's do the things that are going to put this team in a position to do that. And some people are saying, hey, listen, eventually we need a coaching change or we need a GM change. So you have two sets of people. One that, hey, listen, I know where we were. Don't want to go back there. You know, we don't need to, you know, fire everybody. We just need to, you know, add some new players and kind of go from there.
Yep.
So, I mean. There's
I feel like there's two distinct groups of fan or
yeah.
people. I you know, look, Jared's on one side and I'm probably on the other. There's the, it's not working, fire everybody.
Uh-huh.
Which is the quick, all right, nope, not working.
Mm-hmm.
There's the, all right, let's see it play out. Let's see some changes. And then if it doesn't work, then you gotta move on. I'm more in that category.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm seeing right now is not consistent.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. That is a problem. And I don't think that's all on John Hines. I don't think that's all on David Poile. I don't think that's all on the players. I think it's a collection.
But you know what,
Chase? But eventually it's got to get better.
Yeah, it does. But you know what? And I heard Robbie and Rex talking about this morning briefly. It's hard to do that because you got these guys that are supposed to be your big-time guys that aren't playing that well, but you stuck with their contracts.
Right.
You can't – like, no one's going to – at the trade deadline, if indeed you want to start – you know, you get to a point where you say, okay, this season is pretty much done.
Sure.
We need to sort of make some moves. Well, it's hard to make moves when these guys are in the middle of their contract or still got 2 or 3 years left on their contract and they're making $8-9 million, but they're not playing to that potential, and now you're trying to move them. Who's going to take them?
Right.
Nobody's going to take them, you know, or if they do, then you're not getting back much for them. So it's you're stuck in this – it's almost you're stuck in no man's land when it comes to that, because you got these guys that play well enough, play good enough to get big contracts, but now they have the big contracts. You can't do anything with it, you know, and that's sort of the problem with, you know, whether it be hockey or Major League Baseball. When you have these guaranteed contracts, it's hard to move them if
right.
these guys are not playing well.
And that's the big thing, like you just said. Like in the NFL, once the guaranteed money's paid up, you can move on,
uh-huh.
and you don't have to worry about it. It's not like that with hockey.
No, so unfortunately, people, this may be the team you see for a while.
Yeah. Unnamed texter says, last year the Preds' top players all had career years. The team barely made the playoffs and were swept. This year, they're still only 500 and on a path to miss the playoffs. There needs to be some changes. Either upgrade the players, make a change at the coach or GM, but I think everyone has to admit there needs to be something done differently. I'm not gonna argue with that.
That's the truth. There are things that need to be done, but what can they do short of, you know, replacing a head coach and or GM? You know, is anybody going to take, you know, these huge contracts?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
no, probably not.
Probably not. I mean, I think it would never happen. I don't think. Well, they traded away Shea Weber, so anything can happen. You know, the only guy that could be movable, well, two guys, is UC and Yossi.
Well, even Yossi would be tough because he's got a no-trade clause.
Exactly, he got no trade clause. So the only person you could possibly move is Soros.
Yeah.
That's the only person that will probably be worth anything on the market.
I'll have pregame coverage for you tonight at 6. Preds take on the Winnipeg Jets. But coming up next, silly underdog picks. We will review. We have some people not attending. But we will review and make our picks. That is all coming up next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.